Okay, so we're off to Dublin now, and a young Australian guy who's about to head off to his sixth continent in a seven-continent journey. It's a journey with a difference, because Shantanu Starik has sworn off travelling with money. He set himself the task of trading his skills as a photographer for board, travel and food. The logistics alone are mind-boggling. I'm not sure I could barter my way out of this building. He joins us on the line from Dublin. Shantanu, how on earth did you get to the studio?
I've actually got a car that my trade has given me, so I've driven out here in that vehicle, which is very nice of them.
I want to get to kind of the point of the trip that you're at now and how you're feeling about this extraordinary undertaking at this point. But maybe for listeners, I'd like you to take us back to the start of this trading process. What is it that you're trading and why? What was the trigger?
Gee, the start feels like a long time ago. I basically trade my skills as a professional photographer in return for the three necessities, which I see as food, shelter, and transportation. I basically shoot for them as I used to clients, but there's no money exchange. It's purely barter. And I think the question of why I started comes up quite a lot. And the answer is often varied because there was a lot of variables when I decided to do this. But I think the overarching one is that it was really an experiment. I wanted to see if it was possible for myself. And I think over time, because it's been 32 months now, it's kind of transformed into something else.
So apart from bloody-mindedness, because you've started it now and you want to see it through, part of it, I know for you, was it very much an ideological thing. You had an epiphany when it came to connecting your art and the things you love to do with money.
It was. I mean, I did it for a lot of, like I said, a lot of reasons, but one of the ones was that I saw the influence that money was having in the creative process in particular. And it was a bit kind of disheartening. I'm sure a lot of people around the world can share that experience where a good idea failed just because of the budget. And so I think by alleviating a fee, it kind of can sway that into a realm where it makes things a lot more possible. And it certainly changes the relationship that you have with people to become a lot more like a friendship in a way, because you never actually talk about money and you're more excited about the idea and the project that you're working on together.
So how much of a purist are you? I mean, how much, when you started the project, did you say, I'm going to completely eschew money completely? Or do you just occasionally go, well, $2 will get me a piece of pizza, so I'm going
to
make an exception?
No, I'm total purist, to the point where a lot of people down the track started to say, well, why? Why are you doing that rule? You know, at the beginning, I said, I don't even want to touch money. I don't even want to touch a note when someone gives it to me.
But then purist was the right word. Look at you. You're like a monk.
Yeah, definitely. But kind of that got broken for the first time when I got to LA and my trade had to go out for the day and they gave me a $100 note to go get some lunch. And we kind of had a conversation about it. She said, well, you're not really spending money. I'm just giving you this to go get the food, which you're trading for, and then you bring me back the change.
Inevitable, though, that that's going to happen. I mean, I'm really curious about just the practicalities of it. I mean, do you rely on a Qantas checkout person needing photographs done for their wedding to get along the first leg of your thing, or is it more kind of micro than that?
That's the one thing that I've been battling with, because originally, if I wanted to have a service, I wanted the company that provided that service to be the person that I trade with. For example, an airline would be the ones to fly me overseas. But then I very quickly realized in the first month that people were willing to actually pay for the flights to get me over to that country. And so this took the trade away from the airlines. I would still love to trade with the airlines so that people don't have to pay for flights. So there is an element of money from their side of it. But it is still ultimately they're just providing the transport. I mean, it's a huge itinerary to organize. You know, you get emails daily and you're trying to weigh up different things. And then if two people in the same country want you around the same time, then they kind of put together for flights instead of, you know, two separate flights and things like that. And that's an ongoing thing every day, along with having to do all the shooting and the editing and an incredible amount of other work. So it is a very full-time job.
You're listening to Blueprint for Living on RN. I'm Michael Williams, and I'm talking to Shantanu Starik. He's travelling around the world driven by barter. You can see his website, which is thepixeltrade.com, that shows some of the many magnificent photos he's traded for what he needs to get around the world. And I am curious, though, we're such a money-driven society that we don't think twice about someone buying something off us. But as soon as someone's asking us for something in exchange for goods and services, we get suspicious. I mean, is it hard to put yourself out there in new communities with people you've never met before and sell the idea?
Initially it was, because I didn't have a relevant platform that people could trust, which was a website. But over time it's grown. Once I've traded in a city, I start to get more and more emails from people in that city who want to trade next time I'm there, or who are offering to fly me back there. So it's actually not so difficult now. People trust the project because there's so much content on the website, so much diverse content. You know, I've shot everything for helicopter companies to cookbooks to weddings, you know, lots of food projects. So it's gotten to the point now where I don't feel like I have to prove that the project is legit. People believe it, and they just have a look at the website and they say, well, his style is appropriate to our brand, or we really like it and we want to trade. So then they get in contact.
Give me some examples about the kinds of communities where you found yourself. Because, I mean, what fascinates me about this story is there's a risk when you travel like this that you're always on the outside. You're always thinking about the trip rather than embedding yourself in the place where you are. But I understand that quite the opposite is true. By taking out money, you're finding yourselves in the lives of people all around the world and making friends and building a community. Can you give us some specific examples of that?
A few examples that spring to mind. I mean, the first one, I mean, it's probably a good one to choose, seems I am in this country, is in Ireland, where I got contacted by a girl here who owns a cafe, and she flew me over from Germany, and I got plopped into a community that I did not realize was going to be so vast and creative and involved in the food culture. And so next thing I know, I'm in Ireland and I'm shooting all these exquisite dinners and then going to farms where they make cheeses and knives and, you know, going all over the country. So, and then you get to the point where everyone that you're meeting actually knows the first person that you traded with or someone else that you traded with. So there's this incredible network, and it kind of feels like it's also a safety net in a way. Like, I feel very safe coming here, that if I had a trade organized and they pulled out in the last second, that I could just kind of fall into the web and they would have something for me to shoot and we would work on that. And then I think another good example is in New Zealand around Queenstown, where there was a cookbook that I shot there for a wine company. And it was incredible because we became like family. And over a period of a year, they flew me back every season to shoot the seasonal changes that was happening in the menu, and so we could capture that for the cookbook. And during those times, they introduced me to a lot of other companies there, for helicopter companies or hotels. Queenstown, I feel like it's another home. And that's to me, a very unique experience to have in different parts of the world.
The other thing that struck me in the accounts I read of what you've done so far and the stuff on the website is it's not all a hand-to-mouth existence. Like, there are some places where you are living a better, more comfortable life than I am. Like, you're being put up in lavish apartments and you've got a bar tab and people seem to be extraordinarily generous.
Absolutely. It becomes an event. A person's coming over for 3 nights, and I often stay with families, so in their homes instead of hotels. And it's almost like a celebration. We drink the first night and then we kind of get into shooting on the first day, and then, you know, it rolls over and it's like this big celebration, and they naturally want to put on their best food and entertainment. So, and then you go from that and then you start the next one, and it's exactly the same thing. And this goes on and on and on. I definitely live a lot more like a king, it feels like.
I've never been more sad that I didn't have any discernible skills than at this exact moment. I don't think I can barter talking to people to get me around. I get very much a vibe from the website and from what you're saying that this is a trip with a kind of time limit on it. It's finite. You're possibly a little weary of living and travelling this way. Is that fair to say?
It is, definitely. Because as I mentioned before, there's a lot of work involved. And if you do anything for 2.5 years straight, it does start to wear you out. I think the point that I set out to achieve has been proven. Even though I haven't got to all the continents, I get to South America in about a week, which is number 6, and then I've just got Antarctica left. But
not a lot of people that barter with in Antarctica, I wouldn't have thought.
Well, I was trying to get onto them, but they don't have telephones. Yeah. So, but it is wearing me out, and I have a lot of other projects that I kind of want to get on with. But this has been a good stepping stone, and I think it's inspired a lot of people to think differently about how we collaborate around money.
Well, it's certainly inspired me. Shantanu Starick, thanks so much for your time. And here at Blueprint for Living, we're on the lookout for unusual travellers. We're looking for people who make their own idiosyncratic way in and around the world. We want to hear from them about the meaning they draw from travel and what's unique about the way they approach it. If you're such a person or you know someone who is, do let us know via the Facebook page or the Blueprint for Living part of the RN website. Inspire us. Surprise us with the ways that you get around.